Testing 1, 2, 3. Here I go. Give me that microphone.
Welcome to the Makeup Artist Chronicle, where we are demystifying the hype in the beauty industry and giving it to you real. I'm your host, Julia Lubin. Hello and welcome back to the Makeup Artist Chronicle. I am your host, Julia, and I am so very happy that you're here. My guest this week, yes, that's right, I have a guest this week. Her name is Megan Longmire, and we go back. Megan and I met a few years ago when we were both working at BeautyCon in Los Angeles, and Megan has gone on to do really incredible work in the film industry. She was part of the makeup team that worked on the movie Bombshell, starring Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie. She was also part of the team that worked on The Stand-In, starring Drew Barrymore. I managed to catch Megan in between projects. Luckily, she's been staying busy working on feature films, and she sat down to talk to me about all that it takes, all of the tips and tricks to be a makeup artist on a film set. I really hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And don't forget to follow me at MUA Chronicle on all the socials. Throw Megan a follow as well at Megan Longmire. You'll find both of our tags in the show notes for this episode. Thank you once again for supporting the Makeup Artist Chronicle, for listening, for being here. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Megan Longmire. Okay. Hi, Megan. Thank you for being here on the Makeup Artist Chronicle. I'm so excited. I finally caught you in between feature films.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. It's really exciting to just chat with you. It's been a while since we've actually had a conversation because we're both so busy.
Yeah. So we met, just a little background, we met in 2017 at BeautyCon. We were both working the same counter in LA, and we were both kind of baby makeup artists, just like starting in the industry.
Definitely babies. Yes.
And then you went from that counter working at this for this makeup brand that no longer exists to now working on feature films. You were part of the team that worked on Bombshell, a team where the heads ultimately walked away with Oscars for that. So I would love to just track your trajectory and like walk me through like why makeup, why did you choose makeup, and then like how did you choose feature, like film specifically?
So actually makeup, it was a complete accident, if I'm being really honest. I moved out to LA in 2013, and I had vacationed to California when I was 13 years old. And I was like mesmerized. It's like, I have to live here. That's literally the only reason I moved here. Because everyone's like, did you move here for the industry? Did you move here for this or that? And like, no, I want to live by the ocean. So I came out here, I had 2 degrees. One is a bachelor's in art with an emphasis in graphic design. And the other one is web development. So it's also designing websites. And yeah, I did that for about a year out here, but I realized really fast that I am not an office person. It's not my thing. It's like, okay, I finished my work and I have to sit here for 2 hours. I'm so bored. So, it was kind of like a silver lining. I actually got let go from a job. My boyfriend was like, you just don't seem happy doing this type of work. And I just kind of gave myself some time. I took like a month or two off. I went back to food serving for a minute because I did that through college. And I kind of missed art. I missed creating and being in an artistic vein of work. And I just kind of fell into makeup. I got really obsessed with beauty tutorials on YouTube. And I just started buying stuff and trying stuff. And I think I just remember one day my boyfriend came. I was staying with him at the time. He came home and I literally just had makeup all over my face. Just all these colors. And like, I probably looked like a crazy person. And he was like,
well, I've been there before.
Yeah. And he was just like, what you doing? And that was it. I started kind of just experimenting. I was learning on my own. I went out and did some very interesting internships. And then I worked a ton and basically paid my way through makeup school and was just kind of out freelancing when you and I met. So just trying to
figure out. Did you have like, it's a lot to figure out.
It's a lot.
You mentioned something before we hopped on of like your tax paperwork and all that. And it's like, that's a whole other level of the freelance going into business for yourself world. That's like, so it's a whole other language, but did you have a gateway YouTuber? Like, did you have that one YouTuber that you were like always coming back for their content, learning the most, like that kind of, or was it just a mix of people?
I'm not going to lie. I think the first person I got really obsessed with was Jaclyn Hill, which is kind of funny because now I do not follow her at all.
Really?
And I think that has to do more with, as I learned more about the profession and how things work behind the scenes, as far as production and beauty lines and cosmetics and things like that. I just kind of realized from learning from professionals that some of the things that she was doing or saying or promoting weren't right. But I loved her. I loved her makeup. She's definitely a great artist. She's very good at blending and playing and, you know, use of color. But yeah, I would say I definitely got obsessed with her. I also really enjoyed Desi Perkins. Her I do still follow. It's funny, I was just talking with someone about this the other day on set, that we don't really have time to even follow people in that way anymore, because we're so busy. But I'd say those are a couple people that I remember just being like, how does she blend that, or what is she using, or just being interested in that way. But then I kind of gradually, I guess organically, changed to people like Katie Jane Hughes or Patrick Ta, or, you know, even Vivian, you know, just looking at her work and I'm like, how did you do that? And just trying to figure it out.
You mean Vivian Baker, right? She's a mega talent. So how did you leap from kind of being a baby freelancer to working on features? And working on Bombshell, no less, like huge Oscar contender, high profile feature.
So it was funny, probably about a month or two after you and I met, I ended up getting an interview with her and I became her assistant. That actually happened through, I had a really good friend, Allie, from makeup school, and she encouraged me to get on this website called Glossable. So it's a kind of like a private networking group for professional makeup artists on Facebook. However, she does have a website now. She's on Instagram. She's so good at the social media thing. I'm terrible at it. But yeah, so I've been on there for about a year, and she actually is a really good friend of Vivian's. And so she put out this post saying, you know, who wants to assist Vivian Baker? And I was like, well, duh.
No brainer. So who wouldn't?
I threw my name in the hat, and I got a call a couple of days later to come in an interview. And then I went and did the interview. I remember sitting in my car saying, you know, don't be nervous. Don't, like, I'm very naturally introverted. So I'm like, don't clam up, you know, just be loose, be yourself, be excited. And I did the interview, and she called me that night and said, hey, can you come back the next 3 days? I need to pack. So,
wow. Yeah. So what was that interview like? Did she have you do like a live demo? Like what was that process?
No, she didn't have me do a live demo. She just, you know, she wanted to know what my interests were in the industry. You know, I guess my general skills before I met her, like what I could help her with potentially. If I was a hard worker, if I would be on time, you know, there's little things that are really, really important as an assistant, which I'm sure you know. And you just kind of want to make sure that whoever she hired checked all the boxes. She did tell me when she called me that night, she was like, okay, I'm bringing you back for a couple days. but if this doesn't work out, I'm letting you go. Like, she told me that in the same sentence. I was like, okay.
Because she's probably been through so many different assistants who probably had insincere intentions or had unrealistic expectations of who they could be. You know, everyone that sets out on this journey, like, wants to be a Vivian or like a Patty Dubroff or, you know, Jamie Greenberg, but there are so many steps that happen behind the scenes that you have to like really, really like be humble and hustle and just be professional point blank. Like, it's so pretty. We're playing with color and we're sometimes there are celebrities and it's high profile, but like ultimately it's still a job. Like, there's still a level of professionalism. So I bet she came across some people that were not good fits.
Oh, of course. And I think it happens to everyone. You know, I've had assistants on before that I was just like, this isn't a good fit. And, you know, like you said, the professionalism, the hard work, the you know, realizing the expectations of what your job is. You know, if I've had some great opportunities where her and I have got to do more of a photo shoot type setting and like play with color and like experiment and have fun. But a lot of my job is helping her manage her life and make sure she's on track for what she's trying to do. That's a huge part of my job. And I think having those expectations as an assistant in any capacity is really, really important. Like, knowing what your role is and just making sure you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important for aspiring makeup artists to go to makeup school?
You know, I'm kind of back and forth on that, if I'm being honest. I think we're in an age where we're really lucky that if we want to learn something, we don't necessarily have to go to school. There's really great resources. I mean, there's tons of books. You can learn a certain amount just through online and YouTube. As far as special effects, there are some great YouTubers. And then there's also the Stan Winston School that has tons and tons of content. I know a lot of people who have actually taught on that platform, and it's a great tool if you want to learn special effects. I will say, like, I went to makeup school. I went to cinema makeup school in Koreatown, and, you know, it just really depends on who you're learning from. You know, there's some amazing teachers, and there's some teachers that are kind of just, okay, that's great. And then they move on, and, you know, it's fine. But if you're really wanting to learn, there's, I don't think you have to go to makeup school. I think it depends how much you want to learn and how much you seek out that information and practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a career where you have to be proactive and you have to have ownership over what you want and chase it down, because it's the pipelines are not there, and the pipelines that are there, the limited ones that are there to kind of feed you into this career, are highly, highly competitive. So you got to go out there and you just got to like set your intention. This is not a career for people who are thinking of dabbling in it. This is a career that is, you have to commit to it and you have to keep your eye on the prize. Cause I don't know about you. Have you had days where you're just like, is it worth it? Give me a sign. Am I on the right path? I've had so many of those days.
Oh, I still have them. You know, I was on set the other day, and I actually ended up on a commercial for the Disney Channel for Disney. And it was a mistake. Actually, we actually weren't supposed to be there. It was a union commercial, but they kind of messed things up and it was last minute, and they're like, oh, we're just going to keep you guys. But anyway, I was talking with the girl I was assisting. Her name is Vicky Arias. She's amazing. And I mean, we both still have those days, like, you know, the imposter syndrome, the, oh my gosh, how did I get here? Like, how in the world am I on this type of set working with these types of people? Like, how did I make it? But I think it, again, comes back to those key things, having, you know, hustling and hard work and having a good attitude and kind of going above and beyond and proving that, like, you know, even if you're not, you know, that super high level of artist, like, you work hard enough that you deserve to be there, you know?
Yeah. That's a great, I'm going to like embroider that on something and hang it up on a wall, because and that's the thing, is ultimately it's a balancing act. Like, is your passion going to outweigh your doubt? because passion is what keeps you going, keeps you driving.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, don't doubt yourselves, you guys. Like you're meant to be exactly where you are and keep going. You mentioned special effects. So I know you do some really cool like makeup to like simulate bruises, simulate cuts. You've worked with latex. Like, how did you get into that part?
Well, that's actually more specifically what I went to school for. That's something I didn't have a lot of knowledge of when I did go to school. And so I would say my character and special effects classes are the classes that I value the most from going to school, just because it was my first real like experience playing with latex and bald caps and prosthetics and building them as well. So, I feel like at this stage, I would love to do more prosthetics. Kind of the vein that I'm in right now, we're working so quickly that, you know, we might get to throw something on real fast or do a quick bruise or a cut. As far as like big monsters, that's not the filming I'm doing at the moment, but I can, and I enjoy it. It's fun. I will say I probably still love just a really beautiful beauty makeup. You know, you kind of have to be able to do it all, you know, you have to be able to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And ultimately that's where you find out like where your, maybe your happiness lies. Cause there are some people that just do straight up prosthetics and like that's their, and they're so good at it because they're so unilaterally focused. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's cool. So So a lot of the work that you've done, aside from like assisting other artists, like how have you found that work? Is it just tapping into a network? Is it so like I'm asking for our listeners that are aspiring MUAs that maybe have the skill set, have the practice, wanna like have the jobs. What has been helpful for you in seeking those out?
You know, I would say that definitely the way to get jobs in this industry is networking. There's really no other way to do it. When I first started out, Craigslist, I feel like I responded to a lot of stuff on there. But they started charging for their posts. And so there's a lot less things that you can actually reply to. And, you know, there's Facebook groups that you can sometimes, you know, respond to where people are looking for jobs. But ultimately, the farther I've grown in my career, the more it's just networking and it's being contacted by people that they've worked with you, they like you, they trust you, they know that you have the skill set, and they just keep calling you back. And again, that's where it's really important to understand your role in the job that you're in. Because for instance, I just worked a film. I was the department head. I was in charge, you know, if there was anything having to do with makeup or skin or blood or anything, like I'm the person that was in charge of that. But then I have to switch back to the mindset for my next feature of like, okay, I'm the assistant. What does that require? How do I need to shift in order to be in that role? So again, coming back to getting jobs, it's all about networking, but it's also like getting in the mindset of what your job is within that new job that you're taking. Because sometimes you get a 3-week film, or you'll get a 2-day commercial, or you'll get a 1-day little project. It's always changing and you need to be able to adapt. It's really, really important.
Yeah, that's great advice. So let's talk about some of your features. Do you have anything coming out that you've worked on that you want to shout out, or just some experiences on features that you, that were like, this was an amazing adventure? Yeah. And just like talk about that.
Well, so it's kind of strange. So I did Bombshell, and then I did another movie in New York with Vivian called The Stand-In. And then,
oh yeah. With Drew Barrymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
she was her personal. So, we kind of worked, we all worked together, and I did a lot of nails. She had fake nails for one of her characters, so I did all of those, and it was just constant, like, okay, I got to paint a new set. So, but yeah, when I came back from that, like, I basically had to rebuild myself in 2019. I'd been out of the freelance industry for 6 months. A lot of my previous connections had moved on to other people, because it's like, you know, they're still working and doing things and creating content and they can't wait for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of reached out to people I already knew. I got my social media going again, and I really had to build myself back up and go out there and get a lot of work. And so 2020 hit, and then, you know, we all know what happened mm-hmm. in 2020. So yeah. I've been really fortunate since probably August, September. I've had a lot of opportunities to assist Kwame Head. He's a makeup artist that we met a couple years ago. He's fantastic. And then my friend Shannon Trigger, and her and I have been doing mm-hmm. A lot of features that will end up on like Lifetime Network. So those are some of the projects that I've been doing. We've been doing about one a month since September.
Mm-hmm. That's where the steady jobs are. Are those like is. Hallmark, Lifetime mm-hmm. Films? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've been really blessed because, I mean, I know with the pandemic and COVID, you know, things slowed down. But I was very fortunate that, yeah. you know, she likes me. She trusts me. She's brought me on to several of her projects as her assistant. And, you know, that's kind of what I've been working on lately. They do have to go through the editing process, which usually takes about a year. So mm-hmm. not too many things have come out recently, but, you know, we only mm-hmm. started filming again in August. I will have to say that, I mean, probably my favorite feature has been Bombshell. It's just kind of hard yeah. to surpass. It was a new experience for me. It was kind of like a whole new level of just professionalism. It's just yeah. a higher bar, and I got to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool. So
talk me through the moment that you found out you were going to be a part of that whole journey.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be on the team. You're going to be on the makeup team. Like, what do you, I'm freaking out for you. Walk me through it.
So I think if I remember correctly, Vivian had several offers on the table. One of them was here in LA, and she was like, gosh, I haven't done a movie here in so long, because she travels the world. She goes, you know, all over the place with her clients. And mm-hmm. she's like, I just haven't worked here in like 7 or 8 years on like a major project.
Wow.
And then she had another one that was, I think it was in New York. And so she was kind of going back and forth on which one she wanted to do. And ultimately she ended up staying here and working with Kazu and Bill Corso and the whole team. But she was like, okay. And she told me pretty quickly in her thought process. She's like, all right, so I'm going to get a trailer. Number one thing is to get a good trailer for our department. And she's like, second thing is I'm going to try and get you on this thing, because she knew the workload. But I had to wait, like, I think 2 weeks to get the actual confirmation. So my boyfriend and I were just sitting there going, oh my God, oh my God. Like, is this going to come through? Because she had to get approval, you know, goodness. They had to like basically put me into the budget so that I could be with the team. But yeah, she got it approved, and then we just got to work. But yeah, it was so exciting. You know, even just getting the job with Vivian was exciting. Mm-hmm. I kind of punked my boyfriend that night when I came home. He was like, so did you get the job? And I was like, no. Yes. And and we're just like dancing.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. We had to, like, he like ran over and hugged me, and we're just like jumping and hugging. But but yeah, with Bombshell, it was just kind of like a nail biter. We had to wait like 2 weeks to figure out if it was going through. So.
And then you did it.
And then we did it.
What was the time commitment? Like, how long was that project for you?
So we pretty much prepped, I want to say, most of September of 2018. And then we also prepped into October. And then we started mid-October, and we finished right before Christmas, like 3 days before Christmas. But it was a ton of preparation. You know, we had this cast from Fox News, and it was 100 different people. So we had to get all of their photos and have it organized mm-hmm. and figure out who are they going to cast, how we're going to change them to make them look like realistic people. And then of course, you know, working with the main talent, you know, mm-hmm. Charlize and John and Margo and Nicole, mm-hmm. and how that was all going to work, because there wasn't a set decision when we started on who was going to do each person's makeup, and it continued to evolve throughout the show. And so that was something that, that was a lot for Vivian. That was a lot. That was a lot for her to juggle. She was like, "Oh, I'm just going to do one person," and then it continued to evolve. And then she ended up working with Charlize, and yeah, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of prep.
The prosthetics on that film were exceptional. I know that was a long process as well. Were you involved on that part of it at all?
No, I would say all of the prosthetic, as far as Charlize, Nicole and John, those were all taken care of by Kazu and his team. Vivian did do some prosthetic work for some of the other cast members. Like she did a custom 4-piece bald cap for the Rudy Giuliani character. That was really beautiful. Richard Redlifson, he ended up sculpting and applying the nose that was on Geraldo Rivera. So there were like little pieces in there that our team took care of. And then of course, making sure there was like the likeness of these real people. The one thing I did handle with prosthetics is that it was one of those random things that just kind of got thrown at me. Vivian was like, "Hey, we need to coordinate with the lab and the transportation team to make sure everything is picked up and delivered here on time, that we have backup sets of everything, and that the pieces that aren't good enough," because we sent pieces back if they didn't meet Kazu standards, that those would be sent back to the lab as well. And she was like, "All right, you're coordinating that." So she just kind of like threw it at me, and I took it over. So,
yeah, that's the thing I feel like a lot of people don't realize is you don't just show up on set and be, you know, a film shoot or a photo shoot or whatever. You don't just show up and set and like paint some faces and then go home. Like there's so much pre-production that happens, so much preparation. And then even when you're on set, there's an, like you were saying, an adaptability, like the amount of sets, especially like the freelance sets, the like lower budget sets. I've like held lighting. I've like done like held reflectors. Like it, you just kind of jump in where you need to go. And yeah, it's a lot of work outside of just the painting and the prettiness.
Absolutely. You know, especially the lower budget sets, you do end up jumping in and doing kind of additional things here and there. Like for example, the Lifetime features I'm working on now, you know, there's really not a person. We have a COVID compliance officer, but she's, you know, all over like making sure people are have hand sanitizer and are social distancing. And so she doesn't have time to be on set. And so, you know, Shannon and I put together a system where we're holding shields and masks, and it's kind of connected onto our set bags. So it's like we run in, we take it from them, we do a touch up, and we run out. So they're not just putting them somewhere on set and multiple people are handling them and, you know, they get dirty or stepped on or whatever. We're managing that. And so, yeah, you're 100% right. The, you know, especially the lower budget stuff, you kind of jump in and you help where you can. But then on the higher budget stuff, you're still adjusting and adapting, and like things get thrown your way left and right, and you just have to kind of go with the flow. As far as Bombshell goes, I ended up doing a lot more than I even thought probably I would do. You know, it was just like, you know, they trusted me as we went through the process because I was handling what I was already doing. And so it was just, you know, my entire job on that show was to kind of take the things that were almost distractions to the main team and handle them so that they could focus on the makeup. And you know, I did continuity on the computer and did background photography and the transportation stuff that I mentioned with the prosthetics and running stuff back and forth to set and cleaning and organizing and ordering products. Like you always have to just jump in and help. And that's what's going to get you the job, though, too. That's what's going to get you more work, is someone's like, "Oh, hey, like I can rely on them. They can handle all these different things and make my life easier so that I can just be the department head or I can really focus on this makeup and not worry about these other things." But that's what gets you hired, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, 100%. What can you talk about Bombshell, or are you like NDA'd? Like, was there, did you have like a favorite day on set that you can recall?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's so fast and furious. Every day is, you just move so quickly. I will say, like, our wrap day was really fun. Everyone brought in like kind of little gifts, and we had a ton of food, and some of the actors, we all just kind of like hung out and ate cake and drank champagne. I think I put a picture of it on my Instagram of our last day, just enjoying it and realizing how special it was. I mean, I guess I'm not sure, like, NDA wise, what I can or can't say. It was just an amazing experience. And it was, like I said, fun to work at that level. It was also hard to be kicked back down into low budget land from that level.
I bet. I bet.
But it's part of the process. I'm trying to get my hours at this point, so.
I have to ask you, because you were like within feet of these incredible, talented, high profile women, Charlize, Nicole, like, what was that like? Like, I mean, obviously, I'm just gonna assume that they're super sweet people. Hopefully. I don't know if you could even tell me otherwise, but just like, what was that like? Were you starstruck?
I kind of was, of course. Like, you're meeting these people that you normally only see them on a screen, and you feel almost a connection with them. I think anyone would, because you've grown up with them. They're in your life, but you've never got to be in yours, and all of a sudden you're in the same room. So I think that's kind of a, just this amazing moment. And they were very sweet. It was wonderful working with them. But at the same time, it's like we were all so focused, all of us. So it's like, if we had downtime, like there was this one day where shots were just taking a long time. I think there was a lot of setup going on. And our trailer was always stocked with food and drinks, and we were kind of away from our normal location, so we were kind of the only people that had food and drinks. So we had the actors coming in just like chilling with us, like snacking and chilling and chatting. And we have moments like that, but then there's also moments like, we have 10 minutes to get to set, and everyone's buckled down and focused. I would say that's definitely a big difference between the low budget to the high end, is that, the stakes are higher and people are very focused, very, very intent on getting through the chair, getting on set, getting the job done. Because if you go into overtime, it costs so much more.
That's wow. What do you wish you knew then when you were a baby makeup artist that you know now? Like, if you could go back in time and be like, hey, heads up, baby makeup artist Megan, like, keep your eye on this thing right here. Like, what would that be?
I would say the toughest lesson is something we kind of already touched on, just how difficult this industry can be. You definitely have, I think everyone has rough days. Everyone has times when they're like that imposter syndrome, or like things are really slow, and you just kind of like get down on yourself because there's no consistency in this profession. If you're not on set, you're cleaning, organizing, you're practicing. But I think the mental aspect of it is pretty tough sometimes. I've always been a really hardworking person, an independent person. Like I pride myself on working really hard. And, there's times when it's just like things are slow and you feel like that hard work isn't paying off, and mentally it's tough. But then, I have times like recently where I'm just like crazy busy, and it's like I can barely get any time to breathe, let alone take a break. So, I think the mental game is something I was unprepared for. Continuing to have that thick skin and, just keep pushing through and not doubting yourself just because things are slow or.
It's I definitely have days like that as well, just like with the podcasts and with the artistry and everything, of like, am I on the right path? Like, am I and the and it's harder when you like have bills to pay and stuff, and yeah. you like depend on a freelancer's schedule, salary, whatever. So are you unionized? Are you part of the hair and makeup guild in LA? Are you part of the freelancers union? Are you just like floating in the ether?
I guess I'm floating in the ether.
Okay, fair.
So I am working on getting into the union. Actually, with these features I've been doing with Shannon, I basically am through year two. Mm-hmm. And so I only have a year left that I need to get, mm-hmm. Which is really exciting. It's been a long time trying to get those hours. You know, I started in 2018. And then, you know, Bombshell and the stand-in kind of gave me a gap mm-hmm. in my schedule. So, and then I, you know, 2019 was great. And then 2020 gave another gap in my schedule. So mm-hmm. It's definitely a difficult process. But yeah, I am working on getting into the union. And I mean, if I can get there in the next year, that would be fantastic. I will say like you said, the freelancers, the salary and mm-hmm. stuff, I've definitely been very blessed. My boyfriend, he does physical therapy, and mm-hmm. he's been very supportive in my career. And I was still doing part-time work back in 2017. And he was like, you know what, you're missing opportunities. You're not able to get out there and take those jobs and just go for it because you're checking your schedule. And so he encouraged me to just go full in, and I did it. And I'm very blessed that he's supportive of my career in that way.
It's when you have that support system, it's so great, because mm-hmm. then you can just focus on doing what you want to do and what drives you. And I remember I just had this flash in my mind of when we were working that counter at BeautyCon, and yeah. I would just look over and you were so proactive. You were just like, all right, what can I do to help? Okay, let me clean these brushes. You like anticipated the key artist's need before he even had to ask you to do something. And so mm-hmm. you kind of created those opportunities for yourself, which I think is so like that entrepreneurial spirit is what's going to get you ahead as a freelancer, I feel like, because if you're mm-hmm. going to stand there and wait for opportunities to come to you, they're just like, they might, mm-hmm. but you gotta chase them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've always been really good at that.
Well, I mean, I think we all go back and forth. There's days where I'm like, I don't want to do anything, and I don't. But yeah, I mean, like you said, you really do have to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't have to be overly aggressive by any means. Mm-hmm. But just kind of show that you're out there working, and people will be like, oh, hey, like you're doing film. Like, are you busy on these mm-hmm. dates? And then when you get in there and you're on that job, that's where you have the opportunity to really shine. Like you said, jumping in, being proactive, you know, just kind of putting that best foot forward, having a good attitude. Mm-hmm. I will say that having a good attitude will get you really far in this industry. You know, being someone that others want to work with is mm-hmm. huge. It's so huge. There's a lot of talented people that I know that, you know, as much as I would love to see them get more work, sometimes, you know, their attitudes can hinder them. So it's just, again, one of those things that's like,
yeah,
work hard, be proactive, have good attitude, all these little things that people are going to call you and be like, oh, that person had all those things. Let's bring her back.
Yeah. And I mean, especially in these industries like fashion, editorials, magazines, film, TV, like all these front facing industries, there's so many opportunities for egos to become inflated. Mm-hmm. But I find that the people that are the most successful are the ones that stay grounded and mm-hmm. don't have those egos. Whereas to kind of jump off from what you were saying, like a lot of the people that I've seen crash and burn have been like, because they had big egos from the start. They were like, this is mm-hmm. a glitz and glamour industry, and I'm going to be a part of it because it's going to be shiny and new and fun and mm-hmm. aspirational. And it's like, it's, you gotta crawl in the dirt before you can, you know, fly.
Oh, and you are 100% crawling in real dirt sometimes. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, yes. You were on set, like, I don't know, doing like a paint job on someone's leg, and you're literally sitting in the dirt while they sit in your makeup chair, and you're, you know, I mean, or I've done body paintings where it's like, you're like up in people's like business, and it's, and I mean, sitting on the ground for 4 hours, just painting people's legs, like there's a glamorous side of it, obviously, because it's about beauty. It's about, you know, the grace of the art that we're doing, but at the same time, there's a lot of nitty gritty stuff that you do too. I do remember one day on Bombshell where, I mean, I ran all day. It was very early in the production. Our base camp was kind of like a 5-minute shuttle ride from set. And there were things that weren't established yet. And so, you know, Vivian would call me and she's like, hey, I need 15 nude lip liners and like, you know, 10 makeup or like 10 lip choices, like bring them to set. And like, I'd gather them all up and jump on the shuttle and go there and run through the place and get it set up and then be like, okay, well, you can go back, you know? And then, oh, we need my lighting set up because we're not coming back for touch-ups now. So I'd like gather it all up, go over there, run it, put it together, like, you know, just sweaty and dirty and running. And, you know, like I said, there's a glamorous part to it, but there's also the work, and you gotta be willing to do both.
Yeah. I like to play a little game after I leave set and just try and see if I've avoided needing to shower after, like gotten stuff on my clothes or anything like that. Yeah. And I have failed every single time. I think especially when you're in like either a hyper-focused place or a highly creative place or sometimes both, you get so in the zone, like you were saying on Bombshell, that like all of a sudden you'll see that your bottom hem of your shirt is just covered in some color of some liquid or something. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I wonder how that happened. Well, it doesn't matter because what shows up on camera is great. So I'll figure this out later.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the locations I've been working at this last year, a lot of them have been outside. And so you just come home because, you know, it's windy and you're sitting out there for hours. I mean, I think I was talking to, I worked with Kwame on my last feature and we were on a racetrack. We're on like a NASCAR type racetrack, not that big, but that was one of our sets for 3 days. And I mean, every day we were just like covered in dirt from being on the track for 12 hours. Like you just wipe your face and be like, oh my gosh, there's like an imprint left on my face because you're just covered in dirt.
I completely hear that. I was about 2 years ago, I was doing a photo shoot in the dunes because I live like I'm up in Northern California. It was around the time of the forest fires. We went out to like the dunes in San Francisco where the air quality was kind of bad, but overall we could shoot there. Like the forest fires weren't close to us.
Okay.
Poor planning on our part. But at one point I run up to do a touch up on the model. I'm touching up her lip gloss and I'm like, what are these like black flecks that are just like getting caught in the gloss? And we realized that our window to shoot just became severely limited because the fires were moving in and all of the ash was falling. And so we left that shoot just like all covered in like a fine layer of like ash.
Wow.
Like the things that happen on these sets are I feel like you have to be, like you were saying, adaptable, because truly some things happen that there's no way anyone could have predicted. Like sometimes things go off the rails.
Well, I mean, I was on set just the other day and it was near the end of the day and there's only one talent left. So I let my assistant leave like an hour early. And but he texted me and he was like, hey, I think there's some rain coming your way. And I was like, really? Because we were shooting outside. And so I told our AD, so they covered the cameras. And then 5 minutes later, we had like a mini downpour. And I was like, oh, glad I said something, because it's just... you know, we had to stop shooting for maybe 20-30 minutes because, you know, we were trying to get these specific shots outside and we couldn't do it in the rain.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that what makes that story even more impactful about the unpredictability of this job is that you were in LA. Is that where you were? Yeah. So like, who would expect a torrential downpour in Los Angeles out of nowhere?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah, definitely.
Crazy. Is there one, like, do you have a hero product? Do you have a product that you're like, this saves me wherever I go? I bring it on every set.
I mean, the first thing that kind of came to my mind when you just asked that question, the Sean Richards 4K longwear cream.
Ooh.
My friend Shannon, like, I've known about it for ages, because Vivian uses it and like I pack her stuff. So it's like seeing her use it.
But, I don't know about it. So Yeah. Teach me.
So it's, it can just be used for so many things. It's a, like a cream consistency, but it, once it dries down, it really locks into place, and, it can be used as a tattoo cover. I like to mix it with foundation so that it helps lock that foundation in place, so that when you're doing 12 hours, you know, it, you're not getting so much movement and so many touch-ups. Yeah. You know, you can mix it with a little bit of concealer. You can use it as like, if you have a darker color, like a brown color, you can use it as filling in hair strokes. It's just, it's a multi-purpose product. And I feel like I said, my friend Shannon kind of got me on the bandwagon. And now I'm like, I can't go to set without this. Like, it's just, it's really amazing. It's a great product, especially for not only the 4K cameras, but just how long we're on set and how long that makeup has to be maintained.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think people really truly realize, you know, like, oh, everyone looks amazing on the movie. It's like, yeah, it's because we're running in every 5-10 minutes and like doing a little zhuzh. So
Yep.
Like, I get asked all the time, like, oh, how do you make your makeup last all day? And I was like, you don't. You touch it up. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't. Like, nothing lasts that long, but there are definitely products that help keep it from slipping and sliding too much.
Would that one be, in terms of like coverage, would that be good for a bride as well? Or is it a little too like best for on screen?
You know, I think it's a really versatile product. I think you could definitely use it for a bride. Like I said, it can be like a tattoo coverage. It's a heavy, heavy cream. So it just really depends how you use it and like the skincare that you put underneath it, what you mix it with. You know, you can mix it with something that's more dewy and glowy and get a really beautiful foundation from it. It just depends how you like to use it. I will say they, because it is tattoo coverage and it has that locking capability, they can dry out. What Shannon and I ended up doing is we got some of the Vuset palette. And if we buy a palette of the Sean Richards, we'll split it with each other so that we're using only half of the product. And then also we're putting in the Vuset so it stays locked and away from air, so it's lasting longer.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Great pro tips right there.
Yeah.
This has been so incredible. So much amazing information. Do you have any last words of wisdom to leave our listeners with?
I mean, I guess I would just say, you know, go for every opportunity that people throw your way. I mean, I've had jobs for sure where I had that imposter syndrome creep in and you're like, oh my gosh, can I do this? This is scary. You know, I actually had kind of my first celebrity makeup a couple weeks ago and I almost turned the job down because I was terrified. you know, because like instead of just working with them, I was the artist and it scared the crap out of me. So but I did it and it was great. And I couldn't take the job. I ended up getting another job from it. So, just take your opportunities. Don't be afraid. You know, practice. And, you know, don't be afraid to like network and reach out and, you know, maybe reach out to people that you never think in a million years would even contact you back. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised, you know, if you have if you have the right attitude. You might have a lot of doors open for you that you never even imagined. So,
yeah. And I think that's just a great mentality about like a great attitude to have about life. Like just, you know, manifest abundance, be positive and like you'll handle everything that comes your way. That's Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much.
Oh,
this has been so
me.
Much fun.
Yeah.
It's
been
of course.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we were able to catch up and you know, it's fun giving, you know, just giving little tips to people who are trying to get into this industry. It's a tough one, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you have an open standing invitation to come back on the Makeup Artist Chronicle literally whenever you want. And I'm excited to see your features that we're going to get hopefully later in the year, next year.
Yes. I think sometime around summer or maybe into fall, I'll slowly start having several come out. So
do we have names yet that you can share?
I think one of them, oh my gosh, one of the first ones we did, I think they're going to call it Pom Poms and Payback.
It's about okay. I will definitely be tuning into that.
Yeah. So that's one of them that I know of. But again, most of them are still in the editing phase. So
super exciting. Yeah. All right. Well, I will look forward to Pom Poms and Payback. and then I'll just stalk your IMDb from then on.
Perfect. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Megan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review, and tell your friends about the Makeup Artist Chronicle too. You can always get more content on Instagram at MUA Chronicle, so don't forget to follow me there. And while you're following the Chronicle on social and on Spotify, also be sure to check out Lady Bree, who sings our theme song, Microphone. Throw some follows her way. Talk to you soon. Give me that microphone.